Welcome to Hello Hero Episode 9, Red Riot, yum. Yeah, so our next episode of My Hero Academia, we watched it, and it's awesome, I love it. We got to see a lot of Fat Gum and Kirishima. It had a heavy focus on them, whereas the last episode had a heavy focus on the Sun Eater guy. This one focuses a lot on Kirishima and Fat Gum. So this is really cool because we see what Eraserhead is thinking in his head, what he's processing. He is definitely a strategist. He's basically the Batman version of this universe. And excuse me, jeez. I'm just coughing all of a sudden. I don't know why. Anyways, he is reasoning that maybe, you know, Mimic, he's wondering why Mimic has stopped, you know, twisting up the hallways where they're at. You know, maybe he's twisting the hallways where the police are, or maybe he's waiting for an opportune time to strike. And then it turns out that's the case. He goes to strike Eraserhead, but then Fat Gum jumps in the way. They fall down into this, I don't know, like a basement room, like an underground room. And there, Fat Gum realizes that Kirishima had also dived to help protect Eraserhead. And thank goodness they were both there, because I don't know if they would have both lived had just been one of them. But with them both down there, they encounter two villains, which is one guy whose quirk is to be able to create barriers seemingly anywhere at any time that he wants. And then the other guy's quirk is he can punch super hard and super fast. I mean, they don't go into detail, but that's what it looks like he can do, so that's what I'm going to say. So with that, with a single punch, he knocks Kirishima back, shattering his arms, making him bleed, and he's freaking out, thinking that he's going to die because he's supposed to be unbreakable, and yet he broke in one punch. So we get a lot of backstory with Kirishima. It shows him a lot more with Mina, I think that's her name, Miss Pinky. It almost sounded like I was going to say Miss Piggy, but no, Pinky. Though I do wish that they had kept her original hero name idea, Alien Queen, because I think that is a fantastic name, but I digress. We see in the backstory that Kirishima had his quirk was pretty, it was pretty sucky. It was worse than it usually is. I was going to say he could barely get hard, but that sounds really weird. I don't know how to phrase this. How am I supposed to phrase this one? He could only harden slightly, like on his forehead and stuff. I don't know. Anyways, his quirk kind of sucked. And, you know, instead of him looking up to All Might, which I'm sure he did look up to All Might, his main person he looked up to was the Crimson Riot. I believe that's his name. And it's cool to see that, you know, what role heroes play in the society and how much they can inspire people to be better and to do better. And it also shows, I mean, this isn't really something the episode highlights on, and it's something I just thought of, but, you know, Kirishima has these friends and they're not inspired by All Might or the Crimson Riot. So it's kind of like in real life where, you know, there's going to be some people that are inspired to do more, to be greater, to be the best person that they can be. And then the other people are like, eh, whatever, I'm just living life. And they just go about their day doing whatever. And that's how Kirishima's friends are. That's how a lot of people are at these schools. And only a select few are inspired enough to take their inspiration and do something with it and to try to make the world better and to become a hero. So I think that's really cool, because that's pretty accurate to how it seems in real life, and so that's a nice little touch that they have there. And with that, you know, Kirishima's now gotten so much stronger, but he's now questioning everything that's led him up to this point, because he feels like he's finally at a level that he's really cool. I mean, he's done some really cool things, gotten a lot of credit recently, been through a lot of fights. But now people are saying, or now he's like all broken and you know, it just seems like he's so minuscule in comparison. But luckily he gets his grit about him. He's able to get back into the fight even for a little bit. And also in the flashback, there's this crazy, like, tall, like, menacing villain that was speaking to Mina's friends, and Kirishima wanted to step in, but he was too afraid. Rightfully so, because that guy looked very intimidating. And then Mina showed up and gave him the directions. And I love that Mina never jumps towards using her quirk of, like, acid. Because, I mean, really, if she did, that would be very problematic. Because if she started slinging acid on people, that would be... That she would probably end up going to jail pretty fast. So, you know, for melting people. So, it's good that she isn't reliant on her quirk in that way. And it's cool that she's quirky in herself and her personality and how she thinks and what she thinks to do. And so she just gives this guy directions and instead of, like... And I think she said that she even, like, she didn't tell him this, but she told her friends that she gave him directions to the police station as opposed to, you know, the actual place that he was looking for. So it's cool that she can think really fast on her feet, and she is very, like, she thinks about non-combative solutions first, and then if she needs to resort to combat, it seems like she could and that she would. So I'm really interested to see more of her, honestly, because they mentioned how good she is there, and we see that she's really capable. And I feel like at the beginning of the show, they mentioned, like, I feel like she ranks pretty high at the beginning of the show as far as her abilities and what she's able to do. But then since, I mean, she just kind of doesn't, she hasn't really had many moments to shine. She's kind of always been way more the background. So I'm kind of curious to see a little bit more of her. But yeah, with Kirishima, we get to see that he regains his will to fight, and he jumps in front of Fat Gum, and he takes takes more than just one punch or a few. He takes a bunch of punches from this guy, and the dude that's, like, massaging his forehead and, like, creates a shield is like, yeah, like, we need, they're preparing something, this isn't good. And then Fat Gum pulls Kirishima away, and then turns out Fat Gum is not only able to absorb damage, but he can, like, store that damage and then reapply it. So he then goes back with a super fist of all that guy's punches, and just, he's all, like, skinny, and he looks way different because he takes all the fat and uses it to, like, power himself up, and he punches the dude and knocks him and the shield guy back, and breaking the shield all in one blow. It's basically like an all-for-one smash. Or, wait, one for all. Yeah, one for all smash. There we go. Or I guess it could be all for one smash, too. But, yeah, he smashes that guy up against the wall, or those guys up against the wall. So, now I'm curious, like, will Fat Gum's, like, fat body restore on its own? Does he have to eat a whole bunch? Does he just have to rest? I wonder, you know, how long will he be out of commission, or how well can he fight in his current condition? Because he said his defenses go down, but his offense goes up. But I assume it's only because he stored all that power that he just unleashed, and now he probably doesn't have that power. So is he kind of functioning more like a normal person at this point, and not really one with a really good quirk? So I wonder how that will be. I assume whenever he eats food, it just stores inside of him for longer, so he can use his quirk. So, like, his metabolism is probably really bad. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But yeah, this was a really good episode. It was pretty reminiscent of last week's episode, as far as, you know, there being, you know, it's focused on a single fight between a hero or heroes versus some villains in this, you know, during this raid attack, and then we get some backstory, and then we have a lot of inspiring things, and then we go in for the final fight. So yeah, I liked it. I'm super excited to see what's going to happen next. Let's see. Is there any theories or anything about this? I think it'd be cool to see Rock Lock and Eraserhead get into the next fight, or something like that. Like, or I don't know, or maybe see a fight that is a little bit bigger in scale. I don't know. I just really want to see Eraserhead fight someone at this point. He's the main person I want to see fight, because we haven't really, I don't think we've really seen him fight too much since since the villains attacked in the first season, which, you know, he had a really cool scene, like, he was fighting so many people off, and then the Nomu came in and, like, destroyed his face, so I hope that we can get some pretty cool Aizawa action, because that would be pretty fun. But yeah, I don't really know what to expect next. I think Mirio is probably going to get to Overhaul. Yeah, I cannot think of his name. And the gun guy. Oh man. So we haven't seen the gun guy's quirk yet, but his name's like Chronosis or something. Chrono. It something that reminds me of like dealing with time. And I feel like if he can stop time even for a little bit, or anything dealing with time, that would be a pretty good counter against Mirio, because I've always felt like Mirio would be pretty hard to beat or to stop, because he can always like phase through things. So while it's possible to land a blow on him, I feel like it'd be pretty difficult for someone like Overhaul to do something to Mirio, unless he's assisted by having time like frozen for him or something like that. So I'm pretty worried about Mirio, especially with the way the story is going, and if he has to take on at least the two of them by himself, I feel like he's going to be at a severe disadvantage, especially because he's a very like close-range fighter, and I think he has to rely on like punches and kicks, but if he even touches Overhaul, I'm not even sure what would happen, let alone if Overhaul touches him. So I just feel like that's a really bad like situation for him to get in. But, you know, we'll see. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see about that. I heard that in the manga, this is kind of jumping back a little bit, but I heard that in the manga, Kirishima, whenever his arms got broken and he was up against the wall and he was freaking out, I heard that he was like covered in blood. Like he like looked way worse. Like he was like super broken. And I don't know, that would have been interesting to see. I don't know if that would have been better or not, but yeah, it's just an interesting tidbit. Like I wonder if like whenever he hardens, if that's his skin that's hardening, or if that is like an outer shell that I said that really weird. An outer shell that's hardening. Anyways, just more food for thought. As always, I'm super happy that you listened to this. For some reason, I bit the inside of my mouth, and now it's hard for me to talk. But yeah, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. You're awesome. You're super awesome. And as always, stay awesome. Thank you very much. Bye.